Welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. It's a pleasure to have Thabang Hleza with us, who's head of investments for Masisizane, which is an initiative of Old Mutual Group. But we wanted to talk, he's also recently been at the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, which is a very important congress, and we're looking at financial challenges. But specifically for this podcast, we also wanted to look at legal compliance and the red tape hurdle to get SMMEs off the ground. So Thabang, thanks very much for joining us. Great having you with us. And, you know, let's just start there, that, you know, this need for improved compliance within the ambit of risk management, how serious is it for SMMEs that you are supporting and have been supporting for many years in a very positive way?
Thank you very much for having me, Evan. That is very, very critical. I think legal framework and compliance pretty much plays the bedrock of any business, both from a compliance and legal construction, as well as from a governance, and plays itself out in the legal structuring of the agreements, whether you're looking at debt financing, equity financing. All of those are really underpinned by what is tabled in the legals, because that's what is then implemented over the life of the financing arrangement.
Tell us a little bit about the GEC Africa. Obviously, the financial challenges are one aspect, and also these risk challenges. How did that play out? Is that also, generally a broad concern?
I think, one, the GEC was a really great opportunity because it brought under one roof, you've got entrepreneurs, you had policymakers, you had you've got the advocacy groups, you had the entrepreneurs themselves, and you had the funders in one room that plays across a different spectrum of the financing environment. But I think, back to your question, one of the most significant hurdles for SMEs in securing financing from both business and a legal perspective, I think, one, it includes the limited collateral, the stringent lending criteria, particularly by traditional banks, as well as the complex regulatory environment. I think for one to overcome these challenges requires a multifaceted approach. There is an element of improving financial literacy and financial education in one hand. On the other side, there is an opportunity to enhance funding readiness. And what do I mean by that is ensuring that the businesses can demonstrate very, very clearly that the businesses that they seek funding for, they have a very demonstrable track record, they have a solid proposition, the regulatory and the legal environment is on point. I think in any sector or industry that you're operating in, there are certain legal and compliance guidelines that one needs to adhere to. So it is important for SMEs in particular to demonstrate how they are adhering to those, and then secondly, to demonstrate that the businesses that they are seeking funding for, they are scalable, they've got a great potential, they can demonstrate financial viability, they can demonstrate that they've got a very solid and strong and a capable team that is able to deliver on the strategy.
You mentioned the legal background, the framework when it comes to shaping the funding landscape for SMMEs in Africa. How is this this framework assisting the choice of funding instruments, or does more need to be done?
I think a lot has been done, but more can still be done. So the legal framework significantly shapes the funding landscape for SMEs by defining the types of available instruments and the conditions under which this can be accessed, right? Because the regulation affects not only the equity financing and debt arrangement and some of the non-traditional funding sources, which then it's important for entrepreneurs and SMEs to understand this legal frameworks, because it helps them to understand which instrument is suitable for my business given the stage of my businesses. And it's also important that against that instrument, what are the related legal requirements, both from a structuring as well as from a contracting.
And of course, you've been involved in doing a lot of really powerful and innovative things in this space. What are the success stories like out there? And maybe an example of SMMEs that have navigated these challenges that you're highlighting to achieve the growth and investment that we desperately need.
Yeah. So some of the successful stories that we've been involved in as a fund is, and I think looking back, these are the SMEs that have been able to leverage both the traditional and non-traditional sources of funding. But over and above that, these are SMEs that have also demonstrated that they've got the capacity and the capability to execute on their strategy. They can demonstrate funding readiness. They can demonstrate the viability of the business model, that the businesses have the opportunity to scale and to grow. But more importantly, these are businesses that have also demonstrated resilience by maintaining a very solid financial management, adapting to market changes. I think we saw during COVID, there's a number of businesses that had a reliance on the East from a supply chain that they had to pivot to look at a local localization strategy. And also these are businesses that are able to innovate within the regulatory confines. I think strategic planning combined with a proactive approach to legal compliance and financial management has been key into attracting investment and achieving sustainable growth.
We mentioned non-traditional finance as well in this space. Are there any legal considerations that SMMEs need to be aware of when engaging with these types of investors? I mean, we do hear of, some horror stories when it comes to, fly-by-night type of operators. What are the considerations to keep in mind there?
Yeah, I think engaging with non-traditional finances requires quite a heightened awareness. And some of the consideration includes when you're looking particularly at giving some of the equity away, what is the right form of funding instrument that is suitable for the business at this stage? What we've often seen is because of starting to negotiate much later in the process, people tend to give away equity, whereas another funding instrument could have served that purpose. It's also important to understand the intellectual property rights and understanding some of the contractual obligations that underpins those arrangements. I think it's important for SMEs to thoroughly understand the terms of any investment arrangement and the potential legal implications of this partnership. I think more importantly, it's also critical to seek legal counsel, all right, to navigate this arrangement so that you can protect yourself as a business and ensure that the relationship is mutually beneficial between yourself and the investors.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm definitely getting a sense of how important it is for the legal requirements and the business needs to intersect in the realm of SMME financing. Can you perhaps give some examples where understanding this intersection has been crucial for investment success?
Yeah, and that's a very good point, Eamon, because understanding the intersection between the legal requirements and business needs is crucial for SME success. For example, structuring an equity transaction or a debt transaction, it is really governed within a legal framework, which can help in some instances optimize some of the tax implication, can help protect intellectual property and ultimately enhancing the business valuation. I think recognizing this interaction enables SMEs to strategically position themselves for investment, blending compliance with innovative business models.
In your opinion, what regulatory reforms could significantly impact the ease of doing business for SMEs in Africa? And how would these changes affect the investment landscape?
I think one must first recognize the amount of work that has really been done in this space, but I think there's more that can be done. Regulatory reforms that could significantly impact the SME include simplifying business registration process, the ease of doing business, offering tax incentives for startups, and establishing a clear guideline for alternative financing. These changes will not only ease the burden of compliance for SMMEs, but also broaden their access to diverse funding sources, creating a more conducive environment for growth and investment.
And if we turn our attention to Masisizane, which as I said, has really been driving SMME growth, and you know, very impressive, is how would you assess the business viability of SMMEs applying for funding? Are there specific criteria that need to be prioritized?
Yeah, so there's a number of elements that we look at in our viability assessment when we engage with SMEs. And one of them is really looking at the market potential, looking at the track record and the reputation of the business, looking at financial viability, financial health of both the business, as well as the financial health of the individual themselves. I think it is critical to ensure that the amount of work that is put in managing your own affairs as a person that translates in managing your finances, because in assessing the financial viability, you also look at the financial conduct of the entrepreneur themselves. We also look at the management team. Is it capable? Is it fully capacitated? You also look at the legal compliance. Is this a team or a business that understands the different legal and regulatory framework within the environment that they're operating in? If not, do they have the necessary skills and capabilities to respond to that? But also priorities given to enterprises that demonstrate sustainable growth potential, innovative solution, and a clear understanding of the market needs. And by that, I mean, I think it's important for SMEs to demonstrate the understanding of the problem that they're solving, how big is the problem, and why would someone want to pay money to have that problem taken away. I think this comprehensive evaluation ensures that investments are directed toward SMEs with high potential for social and economic impact.
Of course, it's a tough environment out there. A lot of SMMEs are struggling, and a lot of them obviously trying to get ahead in this landscape. What balance of legal compliance and innovative business practices would you recommend? How can, you know, they implement this balance effectively?
I think as a fund, we understand the delicate balance between adhering to legal compliance and pursuing business growth objectives, and also understand the layer of cost that is added to ensure that you comply. But our approach involves guiding SMEs through the complexities of legal requirements while identifying growth opportunities that aligns with this constraint. We really prioritize a clear and transparent communication, educating entrepreneurs about necessary legal frameworks and exploring innovative financial solutions that do not compromise compliance. In turn, this ensures that SMEs are well equipped at legalities without hindering their growth potential.
Well, Tabang, it's such an important point. South Africa needs SMMEs to thrive. It's going to be the engine room of growth. We want to see this happening. And, you know, based on your experience, really appreciate the input and advice to, you know, get these wheels turning. So really appreciate the time. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having me, Evan. I appreciate it.